reading from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll be reading the first six verses of this chapter. Now, God's bold and true preacher of the gospel, the Apostle Paul, is speaking plainly here, and he writes, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, seeing then that we have this ministry, the ministry of the gospel of God's glory, the gospel of God's grace." That's the ministry he's speaking of. Not a bus ministry or a youth ministry or this and that ministry, but the ministry of the gospel of God's glory, God's grace, how that God chose a people, God purposed their salvation, God made a covenant with His Son, Jesus Christ, and sent Christ to this earth to ransom those people, to atone for their sins, to give them a righteousness, and to give them to the Holy Spirit to sanctify them, to grant them repentance, grant them faith, and bring them all safely home. This is the ministry. This is the gospel which the Apostle Paul said he had. And he said it was by God's mercy, as we have received mercy. That's what the gospel is all about. Mercy for the guilty. Mercy for hell-deserving sinners. Paul says, though we do not deserve salvation, much less to be allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, yet by God's sovereign purpose, by God's sovereign mercy and grace, we have this ministry of the gospel. And so he says, we faint not. We faint not, though we meet with many adversaries, many afflictions, many difficulties in the way, though the whole world may be against us, though the whole world may call us cultists or false preachers, we will not quit. We will not faint, because we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart. Because, as Peter said, we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard. In verse 2, he goes on. He says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not only do we not faint or quit, not only do we speak the truth, but we also speak out against error. We unabashedly, unashamedly renounce all the subtlety, all the subtle hidden forms of trickery in religion that these dishonest and false prophets practice. He says we're not walking in craftiness, or that is, we're not doing anything and everything to get people to join our church or to support evil habits. We denounce the gimmicks and methods and craftily rehearsed soul-winning techniques as being religious proselyting and the merchandising of men's souls for personal gain and glory. And he says, no, we're not handling the Word of God deceitfully. As he said in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, not as many which corrupt the Word of God by adding to it, by adding man's will, man's works, the tradition and philosophy of man, or taking away from it, or withholding from it, keeping back those things which might offend people. No, sir. Nor twisting it, or wresting it, as Peter said, which unlearned and unstable men do, by making it say what it does not say, or not saying what it does say. No, he said, but by manifestation, verse 2, by manifestation of the truth. That is, because God has commanded us to preach the whole counsel of God, because necessity is laid upon us, because thus saith the Lord, because God said it, and it does not need our explanation or our discretion or protection or apology as to who may hear it and who may not. No, no. by manifestation or the clear preaching of the truth. And it goes on to say in verse 2, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have nothing to hide, but rather we beseech men and women to try us, to test us, to judge us by what we say. That is, what we say by the Word of God, to judge us, test us, try what we say and what we do, every method that we use by the Word of God. We implore people to search the Scriptures, like those noble Bereans of old, to search the Scripture to see whether these things be so, to try our message by God's Word, and try our methods to see if they're in keeping, exactly in keeping with how God is to be worshipped, what is to be done in the services of God's people. Well, he says, no, we have nothing to hide. Verse 3, we have nothing to hide. We're not hiding God's Word, but clearly, boldly, plainly declaring it, all of it. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Our gospel, Paul said. In another passage, Romans 1, he said, God's gospel, our gospel, which we call our gospel, the gospel distinguished from the another gospel Paul talks of in Galatians 1, another gospel, which is not the gospel. Our gospel, Paul said, the gospel of God, distinguished from another gospel, a false gospel, a gospel of man's making, man's will, man's decision, man's power, man's work. Our gospel, God's gospel, the gospel of God's glory, God's will, God's sovereign will, Christ's righteousness only, Christ's particular effectual saving blood shed for His people, saving them for all eternity. Yes, our gospel, Paul said. If our gospel, distinguished from this other gospel, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel is hid, then they're lost. Those who do not believe it are lost. It's not that our gospel is hard to understand. No. No, but men refuse to believe it. They're lost. They're dead. They're blind. And verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You see, all men and women are born blind to the truth, born blind to who God is and what they are and who Christ is and what the gospel is, born blind, and will remain so until Christ gives them sight. That's why He came. To give sight to the blind, sight to His blind sheep. Yes, He came to save His own. He said, that's why His name's called Jesus. He came to save His people from their sin, to give sight to those that were blind. And He says, the God of this world, speaking of Satan clearly, whom Christ Himself called the prince of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do you see that? He further blinds the minds of them which are already unbelievers. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Believe not. Here is the testimony against men, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Men are already in darkness. Men are already blind. Men are already unbelievers. But the God of this world further blinds their minds to the gospel, the truth. How? How does He blind their mind? Well, how did Satan deceive the first woman? Eve. Yes, woman. She was deceived. She was deceived, not Adam. Adam willingly partook of the fruit. But how did Satan deceive the first woman? He did so by casting doubt upon God's Word, by questioning God's Word, by twisting God's Word, by adding to it, by taking away from it. Yes, he used God's Word. That was the way that he deceived or blinded her mind. But twisting God's word, though, by adding to it, by taking away from it, by causing her to interpret God's word for herself, and enticing her with promises of self-glory, of her own free will. He said, you'll be as gods, along with the allurements of the flesh. Yeah. And Satan's chief work today is not in the honky-tonk, but it's in the pulpit. Yes, smooth-tongued preachers, sly-talking preachers, twisting, distorting, misapplying God's Word by ministers of righteousness, the Scriptures calls these fellows and women, wolves in sheep's clothing, which cast doubt on portions of God's Word, which cause men to interpret it for themselves and entice men and women with a gospel of another gospel, a false gospel of man's will, man's glory. While you're like God, you have a free will. And along with allurements of the flesh, not only material things and the sins of the flesh, but promises of a carnal utopia called heaven. Well, Paul goes on to say that lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world blinds the minds of unbelievers, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. His chief sphere of work, the chief area that he works in, is to keep men and women from hearing the gospel. The glorious gospel, the gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, to keep them from hearing that. And it says in verse 5, Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. We preach not ourselves. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves, but His name is the name we're trying to expound and give glory to. We're not come in our own name, no, but in His name. And we don't preach ourselves, like many do, our works, our will, our power, but Christ Jesus the Lord. No, we're not preaching ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And He goes on to say, and He goes on to tell what the gospel is. Here is the gospel. The gospel which is hid to most, but revealed to some. And it must be revealed. This is what He says in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's the gospel, the apostle says. The gospel of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And God must cause that light to shine in the heart. God must dispel the darkness of unbelief that's in man's heart. God must reveal the gospel of His glory to man's heart. God must give eyes to see His glory, eyes for a man to see his own sinfulness, eyes for a man to see his Son. God, here is the glory of God. Here is the gospel of God. It's the glory of God in Jesus Christ. This is the sum of the gospel, the test of all other which call themselves gospel and all those who preach. Here it is. Who gets the glory? Is God getting all the glory? Is Christ getting all the glory in salvation? Is this gospel the glory of God and the glory of Christ? Or does it glorify man? There's the test. There it is. And so Paul says, if our gospel's hid, it's because they're lost. No, Christ said, my sheep are going to hear my voice. My sheep are going to have their eyes open. And if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Well, I pray that it might not be so with you. It might not be hid to you, but that God might open your eyes to see the glory of God in the face, in the person, in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next Sunday, good day.